Our first scripture lesson today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. This is one of those familiar stories, and anytime we have a familiar story, we like to remind you to really listen carefully, because we think we know what the words are going to say, and yet sometimes when you listen with new ears, you can hear things you might not have heard before. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of Scripture. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. There, Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." For the word in creation, for the word in Scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God. Our second scripture lesson today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 11 through 15 and 40. Listen now to these words and be filled. "We set sail for Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home.' And she prevailed upon us. After leaving the prison," that's Paul, "they went to Lydia's home, and when they had seen and encouraged the brothers and sisters there, they departed." God's grace has no boundaries. Boundaries, barriers, those things we have in our lives that can make it difficult for us to live to our full potential. We have many boundaries in our life. Some are physical, people that have disabilities that make it difficult for them to do all the things they'd like to do. Certainly, as we get older, we discover we have more of those that not disabilities we're born with, but physical difficulties that can make it hard to do some of those things we did when we were younger. There's also physical boundaries that the world sets up. There's borders we've set around our counties, our states, our countries that set us apart. For many of us, we live in gated communities. And even if we don't live in a gated community, a big percentage of people have fences around their yards to divide us. But there's also other boundaries that are not physical. There's those mental boundaries. Some that are just educational, that can make it hard to succeed if we don't have that capacity to get the education we could use. Some of them are caused by mental illness. We're reading a book right now in our study group that's about a woman that has agoraphobia. She can't even step out of her house. That's certainly a boundary in her life. She was a child therapist before she got agoraphobia. And now she can do things online, but she can't go out and meet with the children. A boundary in her life. God has called us to not have boundaries, and yet we know that there are boundaries that exist. There's financial boundaries. Financials that can keep it from doing the things we'd like to do. For many people in the world, that financial boundary makes it hard for them even to have enough to eat or to have a roof over their head. God's grace has no boundaries, and yet we know the world we live in has many boundaries. Our story today is about, our both of our scriptures today about women. And actually what was interesting in the scriptures that were recommended for this Sunday from Presbyterian women on the national level, neither story had any women in it, so I chose my own stories because I thought it was important for us to look at women. The time of these scriptures, women were basically nothing. They were little more than slaves. They had no rights, which makes the Lydia story really amazing because Lydia was a dealer in purple cloth, which meant she had a business. She probably inherited it from her husband. She probably had a husband that had the business and he died. But it would be unusual even for that to occur, for the wife to be able to inherit that business. It would have, most of the time, it would have been a brother or a father that would step in when her husband died and fill that place. And yet here we have a woman who was probably of some wealth because she had a house that was big enough that Paul and his people went to it after they met. I want you to think about the story that they had. Paul went to this town, and on the Sabbath, he didn't go to the synagogue. At this point, he wouldn't have been welcome at the synagogue. And even though he had been a very active Jewish leader, no longer was he welcome in the synagogue. And so he went outside of the town, probably because Christians had to be very careful in the town. And there he found a group of people praying. That's what he went to look for. But what was interesting, it was women. In a time where men didn't usually associate with women that weren't their wives. That was one of the amazing things in Jesus' story of the Good Samaritan. She was both a woman and she was a hated foreigner. So in our stories that we hear in Scripture, the ones today and many others, God's grace has no boundaries is clearly evident. The women are being treated as equals with men. Paul had no problem going back to her house. He baptized them and went back to her house and stayed there. She opened up her doors to men, which probably for the wider community created some difficulties for her because of that culture of the time. And yet because of her love of God, it said she was a follower of God, which meant she was probably had become Jewish, wasn't born Jewish, but she had become Jewish. And then because she met Paul, she took on the Christian faith. We go back to our other scripture, the Mary and Martha story. That's the one that you're probably most familiar with. You're probably, not everybody is as familiar with the Lydia story, but the Martha and Mary story. As I was reading it this time and really think about it, there was different things I heard in there about boundaries. First, Jesus almost chastised Martha because she wanted Mary to take on that typical female role. She wanted her to go into the kitchen with her and help her cook, probably prepare beds for the men, to be that typical woman. And yet Mary, that's not what she wanted. Mary wanted to step outside the boundaries. She wanted to sit at Jesus' feet, take on a role of a man, to sit and hear what Jesus had to say, which left her sister alone to do all the work. And yet Jesus' response when Martha complained was, "No, no, your sister is doing the more important thing. Leave her alone." Now, one of the words that I picked up on when I was reading this, he didn't say the only important thing. He recognized Martha's gifts and what she was doing for them. He told her not to worry so much, that it'll get done. But he didn't say the only important thing. But he said that she did pick an important thing. She was learning Jesus' message, and probably as she learned it, she would share it, probably with other women. But that idea that Jesus was willing, one, to let her sit there, and two, the other men sitting there, that indication that in Jesus' community, in the followers that she had, Jesus broke down the boundaries. He said it's okay for a woman to take on that role of what normally in that culture would have been just a man's right. Jesus said, in essence, in this story, God's grace has no boundaries. And then we see it because Paul never knew Jesus. We know that. But Paul had an experience of the risen Christ. And in that, he received the message of what Jesus wanted to be taught and how Jesus wanted his followers to treat other people. And so when Paul met these women at the prayer thing, and when he had Lydia reach out to him in response to the message, he knew it was okay to treat her as just any other human being. This is one of our challenges in the church today. The church sets up many boundaries for people. In many cases, it's still against women, in spite of the fact that Jesus took away the boundaries for women. Paul extended that, and there's many people in reading Paul that think that Paul had another take on women, and yet if you really pay attention to Paul's message, Paul too accepted women as equals. And yet in the church today, we still put up boundaries. PCUSA, or the forerunner of PCUSA, didn't start ordaining women as ministers until in the 1950s, I think it was 56. Not that long ago, if you think about it, the history of the church, of the Christian church, which is 2,000 years old, only in the 50s did our church start ordaining women. And there's still many other Presbyterian churches, not PCUSA, that still don't ordain women, and many other denominations that don't ordain women. A boundary that the church has set up. We live in a world of rules, and rules are important. Rules have been established to make the world not a world of chaos. And yet, we have to think about rules. Jesus thought about rules. Jesus was a Jew, which meant he had a whole lot of rules he was raised with. Many, many rules. If you read back through the rules in the Old Testament, you know that there were a lot of rules about what you could eat, what you could wear. And yet, Jesus understood that rules had one purpose. That was to keep the world from being in chaos, but that the rules could be broken when they weren't important rules. Jesus was called down for breaking rules. His own disciples, when they saw him talking to a Samaritan woman, were very upset because he was breaking a rule. He was talking to a woman, and he was talking to the enemy. When somebody that needed healing came to him on the Sabbath, he knew what the rules were about the Sabbath. He knew that you weren't allowed to do any work on the Sabbath. That was totally against their religion. And yet he was willing to break down boundaries and heal the woman. He could have said, come back tomorrow when it's not the Sabbath. I can't do it today. But he understood that rules are not to harm us, but to help us. And so he broke boundaries by healing on the Sabbath. When his disciples picked grain to eat on the Sabbath, and he was called down about it, he said, you know, The rules are to help keep us safe. They're not to harm us. And so we broke down those boundaries. That's the person we're to look for when we make our decisions in life. Jesus breaks down boundaries, and he calls us in the church to break down boundaries. Yeah, we're celebrating today the gifts of women. And like I said, it was in the 50s before I could have even been doing this today. And you know, even today, there's still boundaries in the church. Because I was on a commission on ministry for 6 years, there are still Presbyterian churches that if you talk to them about considering a woman for a pastor, they would get up in arms. I've known churches where if they hired a woman minister, some of the people left because they didn't want to hear a woman preach. I looked up on the PCUS website yesterday. These are new figures because I've had some people say when I've quoted this that's old, that's not anymore. The figures posted from October 2018 for the difference between men's salaries and women's salaries that are from 2017. The average woman minister in the PCUSA makes $56,000. The average man minister in the PCUSA makes $65,000. So even today we have boundaries as far as financial within PCUSA. That's not what these scriptures from both Jesus and Paul tell us. Women should be considered fully. And that doesn't mean every woman should be a preacher. We need to look at people's gifts, whether you're male or female. We need to look at people's gifts and get beyond the boundaries of our preconceived notions of who should do what. Some of us are Marthas. Some of us are great at doing the cooking, the cleaning. Yesterday at workday, we had a whole crew of women that came in here and cleaned the sanctuary, did those little fine-tuning touches that happen when we have a workday. Those were great gifts. Some of those, the women that were here also do many other things in this church using their other gifts. None of us have just one gift. We all have multiple gifts, but we do better when we use our own gifts. I've had people say to me, why don't you get your own church? Because I feel my gifts are to be an associate pastor, to be a support. I don't want to be a solo pastor. That's not what I feel my gifts are, and that's okay. But what God has called us for is to get beyond the barriers in our lives that keep us from doing what we should be doing, to discover what our gifts are, and to be willing to use those gifts. And it doesn't matter what our age is. Sometimes our ability to do our gifts change over the years, but that doesn't mean our gifts go away. We can find new ways of doing them. I remember a member we had who was never able to come to church the whole time since I've been here, but for many years, because she couldn't get out, she made and sent cards to people. She was in a very different situation in her life, and yet she found a way to use her gifts and to reach out to people. That's what we're called to do. We can be a Martha, or we can be a Mary. We can be a Lydia who can use her gifts to open her house. She also was using hospitality. But whatever our gifts are, we need to get beyond the boundaries of our own mental. And as a church, we need to get beyond those boundaries that the church has set up for us, that we've set up for ourselves because of things we've been told, sometimes from a very young child. We need to continue to keep studying scriptures and figure out for ourselves. That's why we encourage you when you hear a scripture you think it knows what it says, to listen carefully. Every time I read a scripture, I hear new things that make a difference. Like I said today in this one with Martha and Mary, I picked up that she picked the better way, but not the only way. We need to help the church get beyond boundaries. The picture I've got today, because we are having communion, and I saw this picture on Facebook this week, and I didn't mean it as a political statement, because I know there the wall is there, but what I wanted you to think about is the fact that we all are one. We all celebrate communion. In October, we celebrate World Communion. But most Christian churches, not all Christian, most Christian churches celebrate communion on a fairly regular basis. And it should be a time of coming together. It should be a time of reaching out, of welcoming. And yet sometimes we put up barriers there. I know some Christian churches that unless you're a member of that church, and I had one of our members tell me she had gone to visit, it was a Lutheran church, but it happened to be a Missouri Lutheran. And she went in there and she took communion, not knowing she wasn't supposed to. And the next week she went there, and up on the screen it said, if you're not a member of this church, don't take communion. They didn't say anything to her, but they did. You know, that's not what Jesus has offered us. Jesus has offered us pure grace without boundaries, without barriers. So I want you to think of that you know, we are all one, that we shouldn't put up barriers that keep other people from feeling and seeing and hearing God's grace in their lives. Because that's who we are called to be barrier breakers, to be boundary crossers, to share God's love and grace with the world. Amen. PCUSA Women provide a liturgy for the Women's Sunday. And there's a story that they included in this that I thought was a perfect demonstration of how sometimes looking at the rules and understanding that sometimes there's a better way than strictly enforcing them. This story is about an African-American teacher and librarian. She worked in a segregated school back in the days of segregation, and she had a student named Ollie Neal, who was a very big troublemaker. He gave her a hard time. He would call her names. But one day, this Ollie Neal went into the library, and he saw a book that he thought looked a little, the cover made it look a little off, so he decided he wanted to read it. But now, because of his reputation, he didn't dare check that book out because he didn't want anybody to see him checking out a book. So he stole the book. He took it home and he read it. And he really liked it. It made a difference to him. So he snuck it back into the library and he looked around to see what else there was. And he found another one by the same author. So he took it and he read it. And this happened 4 different times. And he thought he had gotten away with it. Well, many years later, at a reunion, he was talking to this teacher. And he discovered this Ollie Neal, who, now, let me tell you how much reading changed his life. Many years later, Ollie Neal had become a lawyer. He had become a prosecutor, he had become a judge, and then an appellate judge. And he got to talking to this teacher, and he discovered that she knew all along what he was doing. She had seen him take the first book, and she was so excited that this man, this boy, who had been giving her so much trouble, might discover the joy of learning, that she decided the rules could be bent. She actually drove, she only had one book by this author that he liked, so she drove 70 miles to a store to buy another one by that author. She had to go to 3 stores before she could find it, and she spent her own money because she had no budget back in those days. So she bought those books that changed this man's life. She could have followed the rules strictly. Certainly, this boy had given her so much trouble, she would have been well within her bounds to report him for stealing this book, probably had him kicked out of school and It would have changed his life, certainly, but not for the good. By bending rules, this teacher made a difference in somebody's life. We can follow rules strictly, and certainly rules are important, but we have to look at them with love to see if maybe by bending a rule just a little bit, we can make a difference. This week, when you go out of these walls, look at things differently. You can be a strict rule follower, or you can be a presenter of God's grace. You can look for those boundaries you can cross and how you might change other people's life. Go now in God's grace and be boundary breakers. Amen.